And while we're talking federal legislation, there was a little noticed item in that big federal spending bill that was signed into law earlier this month. $18.5 million to combat gang violence. It was touted by Senator Mark Kirk of Illinois, the state with the most gang members per capita. Getting people to leave gangs once they're in them, of course, is not easy. But a program at one Portland, Oregon hospital called Healing Hurt People is having success by bringing gang members together with counselors at just the right time. That is, immediately after they've been shot. They call it the golden moment. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, Oregon Public Broadcasting's Christian Fodenvenzel reports.
We don't know what the motive to the shooting is, but police say it is likely gang-related. We talked with a man who lives
nearby. Lots of people watch TV news or have it on in the background, but Healing Hurt People counselor Joshua Lathan listens a little differently.
More often than not, I'll see it on the news and then my phone will ring. Breaking news, and then right at the same time, Josh, and I'll be like, yep, I'm looking at TV now. I'm on my way, getting dressed.
He drives to the hospital immediately because he says there's a golden moment just after someone's been injured, and it lasts about 4 hours.
That's a moment in time where they may be more apt to listen to you. A fresh wound, they're scared. They may be thinking to themselves, man, this may be my perfect time to get out. And they see someone come into the room and offer them a doorway to leaving. They may be more apt to be like, hey, well, yes, I'm with it.
And it's not just the young man who might be open to change at the hospital. Lathan's co-counselor, Cheryl Johnson, says it's a good time to catch the family as well.
If Josh and I happen to go out on a call together, it's usually him that's interacting with the young person, and it's me relating to the mom and just really checking in and getting the story, right? Finding out who has the influence in the family, you know, sort of getting a sense of what happened. How are they feeling about this? Are they interested in retaliating? Are they upset? Just really getting a good sense of what the mood is.
Legacy Emmanuel Medical Center has allowed the Healing Hurt People program to come to the hospital for the last 6 months. The program is new to Portland, but similar efforts are now running in 22 gang-affected cities. Its webpage says it's aimed exclusively at males of color between the ages of 10 and 25. And once a young man's made the decision to leave a gang, Lathan works with the family, the school, and anyone in his life to keep him on the straight and narrow.
We all stay in communication with each other as well and just form like a small village around the young men.
Healing Hurt People will help families move if the victim doesn't feel safe in his neighborhood. The program will also help set up a safety plan. So, who is he going to avoid when he gets out of hospital? What's he going to do during the day? And is he going to get a job?
It may take a little prodding for some, but for the most part, they're, you know, with, look, staying out of trouble. If I got to get a job to stay out of trouble, that's what I'll do.
But giving counselors access to someone who's just been in surgery can be a worrisome proposition for a hospital. Laurie Morgan is the CEO of Legacy Emmanuel and a trauma surgeon. She says Legacy went to great lengths to make sure counselors don't badger patients when they're frightened and at their most vulnerable, that they get HIPAA training. HIPAA is the federal law that covers health care and privacy. Morgan says the hospital basically treats the counselors like contractors.
So they do carry contractor badges so that they're always identified. I think the most important thing for me as we were developing the program was to make sure that there wouldn't be interference with medical care.
But Morgan says after 6 months, she's been impressed.
They often interact with the families in a way that is a little bit more difficult for medical personnel to do. I mean, we have one instance of actually one of our physicians calling Josh while the patient was an inpatient and having some difficulty and said, hey, can you come over here and talk to this guy? That wasn't planned. That was spontaneous.
Morgan says the hospital agreed to take part to reduce the loss of human capital from gangs, but also to save money. Gunshot victims are expensive to care for, and most aren't insured. Healing Hurt People has worked with about a dozen Oregon gang members. So far, the group says none of them have been rearrested or re-injured. But does the Healing Hurt People program reduce gang violence in the long run? Theodore Corbin, an emergency room doctor at Drexel University College of Medicine in Philadelphia, has been working with the program for 6 years. He says more research is needed on that question.
It's very challenging to kind of say that we're having an impact on decreasing violence, because you really don't see anything like that until 10 years out.
Corbin is working to get the program into every level one trauma center in Philadelphia, so it becomes clear whether the men who've been through the program are really staying out of trouble or just going to another hospital when they're re-injured. The program in Portland costs about $200,000 a year, with two-thirds of the funding coming from donations and one-third from fees. Supporters are hoping the state will pick up part of that cost in the future. For Here and Now, I'm Christian Foden-Wenzel in Portland.
Joining us now from Philadelphia is Jose Ferran. He is a former gang member who was shot and was contacted by Healing Hurt People about a week later. He is now 19 years old. Jose, welcome to Here and Now.
Hey, how you doing, Jeremy?
Doing well. So why did you, first of all, get into a gang in the first place, back when you were 14 years old?
Well, at the time, I was in middle school, and I was an athlete at the time, so I wasn't a negative person. I just was bored, you know, just following along my friends.
And it wasn't long. It was, what, 2 years into that you got shot. Tell us about what happened.
Well, we'll be going to parties, and we already had conflict with this group around the neighborhood, and we was already going back and forth, you know, fist fighting and stuff like that. Out of nowhere, just playing Xbox and 4 a.m, and one of my friends come and says there was a group of them, they threw a rock at his car, and we went over to the fight, and out of nowhere, I get shot as they were shooting at the car.
This was a rival gang?
Yeah.
And so you got shot. Where did you get shot? What happened to you?
What happened was when we go over there, and then the kid that I had fought before, he was in the street by himself, and then he started shooting at the car, and I was the last one to get out the car at the passenger side. I got shot. My friends didn't get shot. Yeah, so what happened was we just walked right into the trap.
Now, your golden moment, as we just heard about, did not happen right after. It didn't happen within the first 4 hours. It didn't happen until about a week later. Tell us about that.
After I had got shot, I had got released that same night, but I had to stay with the bullet in my shoulder for 2 weeks. And the outcome for that was like, okay, I really can't sell no more because, you know, I got a bullet in my shoulder. So I stopped selling at the moment, and I would just hang, like, basically linger around my friends and stuff like that, even though I wasn't too much outside. But before I got surgery, it's like, wow, my friends, their approach to it was retaliating. Like, my friends were really, when I came back from the hospital, they was already talking about retaliating, and I didn't go with them to retaliate, but they went over there looking for the person that had shot me. And they was telling me stories how they had them shook and stuff like that. But I don't know. For me, my approach was like, I wasn't so amped about retaliating. For me, it was like, wow, man, look what happened. Following, and I just get shot.
How did you come to that decision? Because that's something that a lot of people do face. They want to retaliate for what has happened to them.
What made me come to that decision was knowing, being honest with myself. Like, wow, look what happened. Like, being honest. Like, look, if I would never followed, I would never got shot. Secondly, what made me come to the decision was thinking about, like, wow, I could have died. It was a .22, you know, hit my right arm, and then it's traveled to my shoulder. So I think about it, like, wow, if, like, the bullet would never hit my shoulder, could hit my chest, and it could have moved and, you know, hit my heart. Who knows? I could have died, and I think about it as if I get in details how the story went. I don't know why I got shot. Like, I didn't get out the car first out of everyone. Somebody got out the car before me, went towards the person that had the gun, and he didn't get shot. He was going towards the person before I even got out the car. So it's like, wow, like, it's like it was destined for me to get shot.
Did you blame yourself?
I didn't blame myself. Well, me and my friend Muhammad, because we blamed the person that came and got us. We were like, man, look what happened. I remember that time, like, we was pouting. Like, I wasn't so nervous that I got shot. I was just complaining to the fact that I'll follow, like, I look what happened out of nowhere, following him, and I got shot.
Well, what would you say about how the Healing Hurt People program helped you?
Well, they came to my house. Two caseworkers came to my house like a week after I had got shot, and I was really skeptical about them. It wasn't so hard for me to share the story, but it was hard for me to share how I felt about the story, and they helped me express the story and feel more confident and understanding that things happen, and it happens for a reason, and that I have purpose. And they helped me take mature steps in my life. I confidently, and I'm glad that I could say that they helped me take mature steps and being myself, and being accepted as how I felt, because I really felt really bad about telling. Like, I told on the person that shot me, and my friends were looking at me like I was inferior for that decision. So I really felt bad about even telling on the person that shot me. But they helped me make the decision of expressing myself and being more open.
Do you think that if counselors hadn't come to you within the short period of time that they did after you had been shot, that you would have turned your life around in the way that you did?
Yes, I believe it did make a difference because they made me, when I got comfortable with sharing with the caseworkers, you know, and I got comfortable with my relationship with them, they helped me, like, open up to more, seeing beyond myself. I can honestly say I was hopeless. I thought it was just day by day trying to survive, you know, go through the daily routines and finish school. I did want to go to college, but I really wasn't looking forward to that. And they helped me open my mind that to get started to it. Like, you know, take a left foot, and then later I could take my right foot, and then my left foot, my right foot. So they helped me take the little steps that make me motivate myself. You know what? I could do something different than everybody else in my own family and even others in others' family.
What are you doing now? You're 19.
Oh, right now I'm actually, I had just graduated from Frankfort High School. So at the time when they came, I was in disciplinary school all my high school. I got kicked out the school district. They helped me take steps forwards to, like, even get restored back into the school district. So my senior year, I went to Frankfort High School. You know, I graduated from a regular high school. They helped me get my ID. What I do now is actually, I'm a college student. I go to Esperanza College. I serve the Lord. I participate in a lot of community activities and stuff like that. And I play sports here and there.
What would your advice be to other people who are in the same situation as you, who might still be in gangs and are in their early teens and don't see what you see now yet about why you want to be not in that situation?
Well, what I would like young people to take is that you have meaning, a meaning in life, you know, a purpose. It's more than just following a trend, you know, the status quo. Nowadays, people want points, you know what I mean? We honor how you look. You know, if you look this certain way, you get honored. If you do certain actions, you can be respected. And I think that's more amplified today than being honored for who you are and being respected for who you are inside. We're all different. And I think about it is be different. You know, don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to make different decisions that everybody else wants to make.
Well, Jose, keep on doing what you're doing. You're moving in the right direction.
Praise the Lord.
Jose Ferran, who got help from the Healing Hurt People program, which helps gang members get out of gangs after they have been shot. Jose, thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And by the way, I mentioned earlier that federal money that was just added to the budget to deal with gang violence is $18.5 billion. That includes $7.5 million for anti-gang investigative units at the U.S. Marshals Service, $8.5 million for violent gang and gun crime reduction programs, and $2.5 million in violence education. None of that money is going to the Healing Hurt program.